Hello and welcome to Inside the Artist. My name is Rachel Corman. If you are an avid listener, I first want to apologize for not getting these episodes out more frequently like I had been in the past. I've been a bit busy. I was traveling for a couple weeks and then I'm back in LA and started a new job. So it has been a bit crazy. Not that that's a good excuse because I love doing this and love interviewing people and getting these out and having people listen. But I just wanted to be honest about the struggles I've been having with my time and energy and really wanting to get these out more frequently. So here's my plan. Right now, I think I'm going to have one out once a month. So you still have something to look forward to and know that I will put one out once a month. Anyways, I have a really great guest today. Her name is Celeste. She goes by Talkers, her artist name. She is like such a down-to-earth chick. She's so real and just speaks from the heart, and you can tell that she speaks truth. There's no bullshit. And she talks about that and how with her writing, she goes around the bullshit of the music industry. We talk about social media and the false image that presents artists and how she tries to stay real in her posts. So we have a very great in-depth conversation about staying authentic and being true to yourself and how she carries that through in her music. So I really enjoyed talking to her and I hope you get a lot out of it as well. So here is my interview with Talker. So this is better.
Yeah.
So the carpet in my apartment helps.
Oh, definitely.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. We're rolling now, by the way.
Oh, great.
We're just going to dive in.
If anyone wants science facts of acoustics.
We're talking about acoustics. Tell me more. Do you ever sing in the shower? Is that where there's good acoustics as well?
Well, I mean, there's great acoustics in the bathroom. So that's a typical space. But I don't sing that much in the shower anymore because I just like need to clear my head. I'm like, give me one goddamn minute.
You're like, I sing all the time. Give me like one piece of mind here. Sorry, that was your first question. Do you sing in the shower?
Okay, well, there we go.
There we go. We're starting off well. Celeste, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I am really excited to talk to you. You have an EP coming out this month. It's called Horror Films.
Yeah, spooky.
Yeah, is that the theme of the music? Is it scary? Like, where did you come up with that?
So there is a song that will be on the EP that is called Horror Films. But, and at first I was like, oh, like, this just seems like a cool title, and it's a song that's on the EP, so cool. But, obviously I was like, okay, no, like, that shouldn't be the name if that's all it is. And then the more that I thought about it, the more I was, like, figuring out, okay, does that actually have more meaning, and is that kind of more, you know, permeating through the EP more? And yeah, it's kind of just this idea of like being very vulnerable and showing like the dark, not necessarily only the dark side, but you know, the dark side, the more vulnerable things that we don't want to share, that kind of thing, and kind of diving into that and being open about it. And it is scary sometimes, you know? So that's kind of where the song stemmed from, and then where the overall theme for the EP. I mean, I don't think that there's one specific theme. It's not a concept EP, but that is like the main thing holding it all together, trying to be as vulnerable as possible.
And it seems like all your songs have that authentic message, that you are really passionate about being authentic and speaking from a vulnerable place.
Yeah.
Have you always been that way, or what made you, you know, dive into that?
I think I've always been that way in conversation and with people I'm close with and things like that. And I think it's more recently that I have been trying to just be completely authentic and honest and vulnerable with people I don't know very well, or with my music or whatever that is. And not in a way where I was super insincere musically before or insincere to people I didn't know, but you know, there's a weird boundary where you're like, I don't want people to know that, you know? Mm. And at one point I was just kind of like, oh, fuck it. Like, you're going to find out eventually.
That boundary? What is the boundary? Is it just kind of a trial and error, or is there a certain boundary that you do have?
I think it's more trial and error. I think a big thing, which my poor parents are probably going to listen to this and then be like, oh, but I often was like, oh, what if my parents hear this song or see this side of me? And at one point, I just kind of like grew up and was like, I guess I don't really care. And that was like the the boundary. I was like, is this something that I'd be like chill with my parents hearing? Because like they're the ones that I actually got to face at the end of this and not random people. So
you're conscious
people.
Of that when you're writing.
Well, I was. Now I'm like,
now you're not
whatever.
So much. Well, that just comes with age as well.
Yeah, totally. But so, yeah, that was like a, that was kind of the turning point where I was like, I have to face everyone that I actually know, you know, or like if there are songs like about a specific person or anything like that, not really wanting to be too open or honest about it because I was like, what if they hear it? But that's not a way to make any art.
No, you just I mean, it's kind of fun to be ambiguous as well when people don't know.
Totally.
And just kind of be truthful. And then has someone ever known that a song is about them, and have they ever approached you about it?
I've never been approached by someone who like figured it out and I didn't want them to know, but I have told people.
Okay, that like songs an ex or something
them.
Like
this. Like song's an ex about, yeah. Or even like the song Intimidated is not about an ex, it's about the person I'm actually dating right now, which a lot of people think it's a breakup song, and I'm like, sorry. I'm so sorry that people think this song about you is a breakup song. But
you told him the song is about him.
Yeah, because I was also like, listen, like, because the song is a snapshot of a moment, right? It's not like the entire, like the encompassing thing that the whole relationship, you know? And I was like, you know, this is how I felt at a certain point. And I wrote about it and I really like the song, so I'm going to put it out. And I just wanted you to know that it's a song that exists.
What did he say about that?
I mean, he loved it. He liked the song. Good, it was good. It was good. But I was like, sorry.
But you gave him a heads up before it came out. So that's an example of you let someone know before the world hears it.
Yeah, totally. And that's more like if it's, yeah, someone that I'm like still having a relationship with, whether it's...
I keep dropping my notebook, by the way. It's like the third time it's happened. I don't even know.
Extra
what to
sound
do.
Effect. No, yeah. If it's like someone that I'm like consistently around, you know, whether it's someone I'm dating or a friend or family member, whatever, like I'll tell them. But if it's about an ex or something, I don't need to give them a heads up. Like if they know it's about them, cool. And if not, whatever. Like it's
and
not
it's
my
an
problem.
Ex, so
like who gives a
just,
shit?
Yeah. You're like, this yeah. is what I went through and I'm going to write about it yeah. and tell people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. So your artist name is Talker, which is that because people misspelled your last name?
Yeah. Shockingly, it's not because of how much I talk. As I'm like blabbing.
Do people think that?
No, but then like when I play shows and stuff, I talk a lot between songs. Like I talked so much at the show that you came to. I
the
was
Hotel
like,
Cafe
blah,
show.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So
I think that's normal. You want to talk in between
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, totally.
That's how people get to know you.
Yeah, I think there's a balance. I think I am trying to figure out the perfect balance and dialing it back for my next show, but it's good. It's good. But it's actually, yeah, it's because, so my last name is Tosher, but looking at it, you would not, it doesn't look like that.
It's T-A-U-C-H-A-R.
Yeah. Tauchar or something. But I've just, growing up, I had so many mispronunciations, like Tosher or Talker, actually, or Taucher or Tashar, or the list goes
just
on.
In school, teachers would just mispronounce it all the
high
time.
High school graduation, college
no,
graduation.
Graduation,
really tragic.
Even.
Yeah. And they have you write those, like, pronunciation cards, like write out the phonetic spelling.
Obviously pointless.
Pointless. Absolutely pointless. So I wanted to think of like a unique name that for the artist project that, you know, wasn't just like Celeste or some random thing. You know, I wanted it to be unique, but I wanted it to, you know, be you know, giving a nod to my name and to that background. So Talker was born.
Love it. And let's talk about your background. I know you were born in Germany.
Yeah.
And when did you move to California?
I was super young. I was like a baby, less than a year old. So I definitely grew up in California. But my mom's family, like she is German. She grew up there and everything. So her family all lives there. So I would grow up, you know, going back and forth a lot.
And you grew up in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Right. And when did you move to LA then? It wasn't until after college.
Yeah. So I grew up outside of Sacramento, and then I went to school in Miami, which is like a very random, like, zigzag.
The other coast.
Yeah. And then I graduated. I got out of there as quickly as I could. I graduated super early and moved to LA.
And did you study music in school?
Yeah, I studied music. I studied songwriting and music business and all that good stuff, and just tried to figure out if it was worth it to get a degree in music, which I think it is not.
I feel like that about the TV and film industry too, yeah. Where I went to school for journalism, but with a TV and film emphasis. And yeah, people are like, oh, do you need that to be in the TV industry? And it's like, yeah, you do. Like, it helps you, but I don't think it's like a requirement.
Totally. And I think it, no matter what facet of the entertainment industry that you're in, it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. Like, anything that I learned is irrelevant. To a certain extent, at least, you know, it's like,
I'm sure you got like the foundations of music and songwriting totally. And all that, but to me, I think it's the experience where you get the most value.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And connections as well, which I'm sure in the music industry is huge.
Yes, exactly. So it was good. And I think it was cool. So not going to dive too far into this because it's like my college application process.
I want to hear about your college application process. I want to hear about it.
But, you know, one big thing that was cool about where I went to school was that I didn't go to like USC or NYU or anything like that where I was like fully in the industry yet. I was just in Miami at this music school that's a great music school, but yeah, randomly at the University of Miami. It's like this great music school. And because you're not super in the industry, you can just like really focus on practicing and playing and writing and getting better at your craft without the distractions of like, oh, I have to go to this networking event. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, it's super cutthroat, blah, 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 blah. So that was cool. Yeah. Like I definitely grew a lot, as a writer and an artist out there, but
what made you want to go all the way out there? Is it for that reason?
It was for that school.
You didn't want to go to a big city. I mean, Miami's a big city, but I mean, not like an LA or New York. Right.
They gave me a lot of money.
So, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason.
So that was why. Because I definitely could not afford to just go to college by myself.
I hear that. I totally hear that. When you were younger, did you always want to be a songwriter?
Yeah, I definitely actually feel quite lucky because I never really wondered. I like always
knew. You knew from a young age.
Yeah.
Was there an album you heard that you were like, okay, this is what I want to do?
I don't know that there was one specific album where it was like the moment by any means. But if I really think back to like what, when I was a kid, I was playing and what I was emulating was Avril Lavigne's Let Go.
Yes.
That record. It's so funny, you know, because I went back and re-listened to it the other day in full because I was like, I had just spoken with someone else about this too, and I was like, let me listen to that. And I was like, ah, damn, you know, it still this holds up. It's so good.
Still makes you want to be a songwriter.
Yeah, which is so funny because it's like so, I mean, I think she was 15 when she put out that record. Like, it's so, you know, cheese balls, like very like, you know, the Matrix songwriting team who wrote all of those like 2000s hits. But it was like, I was obsessed with it, and
she was
like,
also massive, as well. And so she was like massive. Similar to you, like just like this pop but rock like chick. So I can see how that was an influence on you because you do have a lot of that in your music.
Yeah, totally. So that was definitely like I was always like listening to that and playing that and starting to write and trying to like kind of imitate her for a long time when I was younger. Yeah.
Are your parents in the music industry or are you just separate from them and you just wanted to do this?
Yeah, I am separate. They're not in the music industry, but they are musical. They're all like, all of them, all 12 of them. No, they're both like amateur musicians who both play very well. And my dad like runs these like showcases in my hometown.
Oh,
and my
sick.
Mom is a classical singer and stuff. So it was definitely a very musical household. And they're also just like into music. Like they were the ones who were like, yeah, let's listen to the Avril Lavigne record.
So did they teach you how to play guitar?
Yeah. And piano.
And piano.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah.
And then did you have lessons as well or did your parents pretty much?
Yeah, I did have lessons outside of that. But like when I was really little and just starting out, they were the ones who were doing it, which is really cool. You know, it's a super lucky thing to have that, you know, because I don't know that they would have just wanted to like pay to have me in lessons as a 3-year-old.
What was the move like when you moved to Los Angeles after college? Because that had to be scary to come here, I'm assuming not have a job and try to make it as a songwriter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty similar story to anybody. You know, it's always scary to move to a new city. Los Angeles, we're just lucky that it's not icy and cold.
Yes, yeah, so we were just talking about Minnesota, which is where I'm from.
So maybe that makes it easier. But no, it was definitely scary. It's funny because now, obviously, I've been here for a few years and I have a foundation and friends, and some people that I went to high school and college with have actually since come out, which is kind of funny because when I moved, pretty much no one except a small handful of people, no one was out here yet that I knew. Not even like from school. A lot of people from Miami went up to New York because they were already on the East Coast and stuff. And so I was very alone. Like I went on a Facebook housing group and was like, I need a place to live, and found someone. And I got super lucky because one of my best friends now is actually my random like roommate. Which is so rare. You did
get so lucky.
Yeah, because we also had a couple crazies in the apartment, but the person that I actually shared a room with is a good friend now. But yeah, it was crazy because I had no idea what I was doing. I just like got a couple internships at studios and publishing companies and stuff to just kind of like be like, what is happening? How does this work?
Understand the industry.
And then I just got super lucky in meeting really good people who genuinely wanted to help out or wanted to collaborate or whatever it was. And so that was good. I think I got very lucky in the sense that everyone I met was just really awesome.
What are the steps you took to meet those people? Just for people who are listening who aspire to do this, like what is something that you learned in that experience?
Totally. I mean, I think the main things were that I started going to everything. I think it's really easy when you move to a new city, no matter what industry you're in or what city you're in, to just kind of close up and just stay in and watch Netflix because it's easy. And like I was becoming friends with my roommate at that point, so we could just like hang out and it was great and easy. But instead of doing that, you know, going out to a lot of events, I would go out to like school night and different showcases and stuff like that and open mics and all of that kind of thing.
In LA there's like live music every night.
Night, and like free live music too, so even if you're broke, like you can do it.
Totally.
And and so I was doing that.
Have you played school night?
I haven't.
That surprises me. I feel like you would have.
I know. Well, it's something that's kind of on the radar a bit, but I want to wait because I want it to be like as big as it could be. I want it to be like packed out, so I'm like, I can wait a little while longer.
You packed out Hotel Cafe.
Yeah, I think
you can do Bardot if you did Hotel Cafe.
So yeah, I think it'll be coming up around the bend fairly soon. So just doing a lot of that, and then every person that I met, I followed up with, and not in like a weird like I want something from you way, but I was like, also just like, I didn't have any friends, so I just was like, let's also just like hang out. And then we did, and that was a big thing. I think people can smell it on you when you want something from them.
I think so. I think that's a very good lesson. I've learned that as well, that forming those relationships is so important, but you have to do it in a tasteful way.
Totally.
You can't do it in a what can they give me, because yes, people can definitely tell.
And also like realizing that everybody is just like a person trying to do their thing.
Yeah.
Because in the entertainment industry, right, you have like musicians or actors or whatever it is, but the industry side of it is just as cutthroat. And so everybody who's trying to be like an A&R or a producer or whatever it is, they are also like, I'm just trying to figure my shit out.
Totally.
And so once you realize that, you're like, okay, we can just hang and be friends. And then, like, when the opportunities present themselves, we can help each other, as opposed to it being like, sign me.
I think that's very, very smart.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think relationships here, as I touched on, I think is one of the most valuable things in LA.
Yeah.
Friendship, whether it be friendships, whether it be work relationships.
But,
because LA is such an isolating place as well. It's very lonely. Everyone is here going after their own dream. That's kind of, like, the thing here. And, like you say, everyone has their own motive. So yeah, I think forming those relationships and forming friendships is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you also never know, like, let's say you meet someone at like school night and you exchange info, and then you never know, like a year later you'll run into them and be like, oh my God, I'm doing this, you're doing that.
Totally.
Oh cool, we can collab. Like, you don't have to force that to happen right away, but just establishing that, I've found is really valuable as well.
And the number of times that like that exact type of thing has happened, it's countless, you know, because it's It's very true. Like, everybody's all over the place all the time, so it's not going to happen immediately, and you're also 1,000% going to run into them again, whether you want to or not.
Yes, you probably will. Especially the music scene here. Like, yeah. I'm not in the music scene. I always talk about this on the podcast because I interview so many musicians. Yeah. It's like, I'm not in the music scene. I'm not a musician, but I do tend to, like, see the same people all the time at different shows. I just think the community is very small.
Yeah.
And also, like, really supportive.
I find. Definitely.
Like, people are really, like, the way, like, you know, our mutual friends have, you've collaborated with my friends, and I think that's really...
Yeah, totally.
Makes it special.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your songwriting contest you won at Guitar Center. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yeah, that's so funny. I mean, yeah, so that was, like, 3 years ago at this point.
Was it?
Yeah, but it was kind of... It's... This is so funny. Okay, so because I was in this songwriting contest, so they had I don't think they do it anymore. I think they did it once or twice more after I was in it, and then they stopped for whatever reason. But it was pretty cool. Like, you'd post your songs on their, like, web platform, and then they had...
Oh, it's all web based. You don't go and...
Well, do it was web based.
Okay.
At first there were, like, different phases, and then their judge picked, like, 5 people, and then we all... we all performed at the Troubadour, and that was really cool because I had just moved to LA, and, like, it was exciting. It was all happening. I was like, this is so cool. And then I realized that, like, that doesn't, like, necessarily get you anything. But it was really cool because I met a really good friend of mine. She at the time was going by Kate Brady, but her artist project is called Kathleen, and she just put out a song and has another one coming out. You should definitely check out. But she ended up winning it, but we all, like, formed really great relationships, and, like, obviously, like, all 5 of the people who were in that were incredibly, I mean, you know, and not to say it about myself, but, like, everybody was super talented and very, you know, very qualified to be there. And so everybody's gone on to, like, do cool things and, like, has continued to be in it. But the reason that I'm laughing is because we got so much gear as part of the prize. We got, like...
Are you serious?
We got a Bose sound system, got a Martin acoustic guitar, got a Gibson electric guitar, got 2 different types of amps, got, like, headphones.
Just for being in it, even if you didn't win.
Yeah, all 5 finalists. No and then way. Kate got, I think, like, an extra couple guitars and synthesizer. It was, like, an insane amount of stuff. But it's so funny because it was just, like, all sitting in my closet for the longest time.
You never used it?
And now, I love the acoustic guitar. I love the sound system. Like, but obviously, like, not everything that they give me is going to be something that fits into what I do and what I need. Like, they had these really cool acoustic amps, because traditionally you don't play an acoustic guitar through an amp. You play it into the PA system and for busking and stuff. If you're a singer-songwriter, that can kind of be... It can be tricky to figure out how to amplify yourself, like if you were to busk in Santa Monica or something. So these are cool amps that help you do that. But that's not what I do. So, like, I don't need that. But so it's been sitting in my closet, and I just pulled it out this week because I'm trying to sell all of it to pay off my credit card. So I'm, like, revisiting that time in my life. So if anyone's listening
and they want to buy cool amps.
Yeah, if you want amps or a Roland JDXI synthesizer.
DM Talker.
Hopefully by the time this comes out, I'll have sold it. But, yeah, it's so funny. I just pulled it out for the first time this week.
That's super funny.
Yeah.
That's smart, though. If you need to sell it if you need to. So tell me about the contest, though. Like, how many songs did you have to write? Or was it just one that you submit? Well,
yeah, so we didn't have to write a specific number for them or send a specific number. But I think I uploaded, like, 4. So I used to go by a different name that I'm not even going to say here, because somehow that'll still be floating on the internet somewhere, and I don't want that to come up. I used to go by a different name, and I put an EP out, like, right when I graduated college. And it was good. I mean, it was good, and it was, like, for what I was doing at the time and the point that I had developed to. But I've just changed so much as a person and an artist since then, and the songs are obviously very different. So, but I uploaded some of those, and... Yeah, and they selected me, and then we, at the Troubadour, I think we each performed 3 songs. But it was cool, like, it was...
Was it a full crowd?
It was a full crowd, because everybody could bring 10 people, and then they had, because it was like a Guitar Center like sponsored event, they had people from different press outlets there and things like that. And I think like some, you know, industry and A&R people will like come out and check it out. So it was cool. And I did meet a couple cool like industry connections and things like that through it. And I think it's a really cool opportunity. I think, you know, it's just like one of those things where you have to remember like, okay, this is like a small thing in the grand scheme of bigger things. Cause I think that a lot of people who do those types of contests think that that's like gonna get them something really big. And even if you win, it's like a cool opportunity. And like my friend Kate, she got to record an EP, which is finally coming out now, but it's 3 years later, you know.
Yeah. And it's going to be. You had a really rational sense about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you were grateful to be on it, but you knew that you still had like work to do to keep.
Totally. And I think also because at that point I had already been living in LA for a few months, I was already jaded. It happened so quickly. So.
You're like, yeah, I'm playing at the Troubadour. I get it. It's fine.
But it was really cool. It was awesome. And they, like, they definitely give you, like, the Hollywood celebrity thing for, like, a day. They put you up at the Sunset Marquee. And
how nice.
Yeah, it was so nice. And I was like, well, I live here, so I don't necessarily need the hotel. They were like, take it. And I was like, okay. And it was nice.
You take it. Yeah, yeah.
It was really nice. And, yeah, and they do, like, a whole, like, interview thing. And it was cool. They make you feel really good about yourself for getting to do that. Because, obviously, yeah, they only picked 5 people out of, like, 1,000. So it was cool.
That's so awesome. I want to talk about your involvement in the band Friendship.
Yeah.
You play keys and sing backup for them.
I do, yeah.
How did you meet them?
Again, anyone who is an aspiring musician songwriter, listen up.
Listen up. Here's how to do it.
Here's how. Step-by-step guide. So when I first moved out here, I am a member of ASCAP, the performing arts organization. And all of the different PROs have, you know, their own events and stuff. And so for ASCAP, they had this like collab event to meet other songwriters and producers. And I just moved out here and met with a rep there to be like, help me. And she was like, okay, come to this. And I went and I ended up meeting my friend Dan Sadin, who plays guitar for me and you know, produces a lot of my stuff as well. And he at the time was playing with Friendship. And it was before they put Capsize out, like literally a month or two before. So they had some good streaming numbers and a few fans and stuff. And they had their publishing deal, but they hadn't like exploded the way that they did with that song. So Dan and I ended up writing together a few times and keeping in touch. And like I said, at the time he was playing with them and he was living with one of them and all this stuff. And so a few months later, when Capsize came out, they had the opportunity, you know, to get signed to a label and get an agent and get a tour and all of the stuff that kind of came together very quickly because of how insanely well the song did.
Yeah.
And so obviously on Capsize, Emily Warren, who co-wrote the song with them, sings the lead vocal on the chorus. And so they needed a keys player and they were hoping for a female keys player so that you could also sing that part of the song. And yeah, Dan hit me up and he was like, hey, could you come in and audition? Like, would you be interested in even doing this? And at the time, it was literally like 5 or 6 months after I moved to LA.
Wow.
Which is really quick.
Is this like you said about 3 years ago? How long
It'll
ago
be
is
3 years
this?
Ago in like July or August.
Okay.
So summer of 2016. Yeah. And I had just moved out in January. And it was, yeah, so it was super quick. And it's funny because at first I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it because I didn't really know the world of being a touring musician and stuff yet. And I was obviously here to focus on my artist project and stuff. But it was so early on that I really had nothing going on with my artist project. And I was still figuring out, like the songs that I was writing at the time were still very much in line with the old stuff. I hadn't really developed my sound. And I had a lot of growing to do as a person. I still do, but like, the past 3 years, you know, you move to a new city after college, you're going to change.
Absolutely.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. We'll see. And I auditioned and it worked out and I got along with everyone and it kind of came together and it all happened very quickly. Like Dan called me and a week later we were in rehearsals.
Wow. And then how quickly were you playing shows after that?
I think this was their first tour. Like they had never done anything of this level yet. So we had like maybe 10 days, 2 weeks of rehearsals where we were like all day, every day. Also, because we were still learning how to like do the whole live setup, it was like 12 hours of technical difficulties for 2 weeks, you know, troubleshooting and figuring it out. So it was a long rehearsal period. But then we were touring, and that first tour was 3 months.
Wow. And you played, is that when you played the big festivals like Lollapalooza and?
Yeah. So that was the following year, like okay. The following summer.
Got it.
So this was the fall that we did the tour. And okay. Then in that winter, like January, February of that following year, we did Europe opening for Bastille. And that was,
oh my gosh, what was that like?
That was really insane. I mean, those guys are the best. They're super, super sweet.
I did not know you opened for Bastille.
What? Yeah, that was really cool because, I mean, they're very big here. And I guess right now even bigger because they have the song with Marshmello. But they're big here, but in Europe, it's like arenas. We did a show in Belgium, in Antwerp, that was literally, yeah, like a 20,000-person arena.
Oh, my gosh. Can I ask, what was that like for you? For someone who, you know, is like singer-songwriter, like wanted to do your yeah. own stuff, to go from that to being on that massive of a stage. That's not something I assume you ever thought that would happen.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, for the sake of being completely honest, it was like really cool, but also like not my project. And so it was an amazing experience. And again, at the time, I wasn't even ready to be putting music out with my project. So I was like, hell yeah, we're
maybe
doing
this.
Maybe
it's like good practice for you.
And well, that's exactly the thing. It was like just really cool because I was just able to focus on doing that and performing and having like this goal. And when I say, you know, oh, it was really fun, but it wasn't my project, I don't mean it in a bad way where I wasn't able to appreciate it. But I mean it in a way where I was like, oh, shit, like, I need to work so hard because I want this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it was really cool, but yeah, it was crazy because with Friendship, it's been so fun to, we've gotten pretty much every type of performance situation that you could have. Like we've had the 20,000 person arena
uh-huh.
and we've had like the 150 cap room that has like some people in it, I guess. You know what I mean? And then we've
was
done.
Was that after the arenas?
Yeah, because the arena tour was opening for Bastille.
Okay.
You know, I hear and you. Then we did some headlining shows. And Friendship does incredibly well with their live set because it's a really fun live set and their fans are really amazing and it just works out. But obviously, there are some markets that they don't have as many people that come out to shows. And so it's just, it's always fun to play the shows, but it's funny like seeing the juxtaposition of those two things within yeah. the same like 6 month period. And you're like, yeah, woohoo.
But, what is something you learned from that experience?
I definitely just learned how there's a billion things as I think of it, like so many things are flooding through and thinking how to word it properly. But not only did I learn just quote unquote to tour, like how that works and just the day-to-day of that, but really learning how to, like, I don't want to say be a team player because that's so cliche and cheesy, but seriously, like, you're in a van with people 24/7 for 2 months. You know, you're not, and you get your own hotel room once every 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and that's how it is. And it's really fun because you get incredibly close, and obviously you're going to have like stupid, silly shit that you do and inside jokes and all this stuff, but you're also obviously going to get tired of people. You're going to go, it comes in waves, and everybody has their off days, and everybody gets sick and rotates being sick because you're just in a van.
Yeah.
And I'm usually the one that starts it, so they all hate me. But, so I think honestly just learning to like just kind of grow up and like do your own thing, know how to read people, know when someone doesn't want to talk to you, know, you know, that kind of those nuances of relationships and being around people that much. And I think it's been really good for me in building my band and in building some of those relationships in Los Angeles, like we were talking about with like being friends with people and not pushing things and letting things take a year if they need to. Like, it's very nuanced. And that was like a crash course in it, you know?
How long did you tour with them, or when did you decide to kind of break off and continue your own project?
Yeah, so I actually still technically tour with them. But
that's
true.
Just, you played a show recently with them.
Yeah.
At the L, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Well, so that was on. Yeah. So we did a 2 month tour in May.
Okay.
or April and May of last year. So I still tour with them, but it's kind of worked out that they've been kind of between cycles, like writing for their record, and they left Columbia and moved to a new label, Ninja Tune. And so they were dealing with that and navigating all of that and writing and recording their album. And so it worked out that all of my stuff was kind of coming out at that point and playing shows. So right now, the way that I'm trying to do it, because I love touring with them, and I'm like, my mentality with it is that until the point comes where I cannot do both, because I actually like am doing a lot of shit here and am getting tours on my own and things like that, then it will have to be like a hard flip. But yeah, for now, I mean, I'm putting out this EP and playing a show and trying to kind of ride that wave and be pushing the EP. But then there will be like a couple months of lull. And in that lull, we'll be playing some shows and doing some things that they haven't put out too much about yet, but there will be some stuff. And so I am still playing with them, but it's definitely pulled back a little bit, and making sure that I'm able to focus on my stuff. And it's really nice because they're super, super supportive of my project and have been super helpful and in sharing great. It. And you
and
know.
It's great you are able to kind of jump back and forth. And yeah. If the timing works out, that's kind of the ideal situation.
Exactly. Exactly. Like. That's the thing. It's all about the timing and just making it work. And they're very aware of that, which is awesome. So, I mean, it definitely is like a family kind of environment. They're all like my brothers. And so it's like, you know.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, just working it all out.
I read in your bio, you were talking about your music. I don't know if it's a certain song, but I wrote like, how you've struggled with feeling comfortable and displaying like your authentic self as an artist.
Yeah.
Can you like elaborate more on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back a little bit to what we talked about earlier on about being afraid to share certain elements of that. And yeah, I think it's just like a development and a growth thing at the end of the day. And with this EP, I really was trying to not do that, to just forget about any of that, and if there was something that made me uncomfortable, I did it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
you did it, even it like those feelings of like uncomfortability and yeah. all that. That I don't know, for me, like not in music, but like that takes guts to still kind of push through that, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, and that was kind of the point of it all, was to just like force myself, because I was like, there's a reason that it's and within reason, obviously, if something was like, oh, I hate this, you know,
that's different than like being uncomfortable, though.
Yeah, exactly. And so I tried to kind of push through that, or like if there was a lyric where I was like, oh, this might be a little bit too much, but it felt right. So, you know what I mean? And doing that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I just, for whatever reason, just kind of had a hard time with that. And I think, you know, we all have our weird subconscious shit that we carry with us from whatever weird little thing happened when we were growing up or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, this was like a project where I was really trying to let go of all of that and not let that affect my writing or my music or whatever it had been affecting until that point, you know.
Were there any practices you were doing in order to kind of get through that? Like, do you meditate? Is it working out? Is it like, is there anything you do to outside of music that helps that writing?
Yeah, I mean, I like to run, and I've just recently been getting back into it. I was really heavily into it like a year ago, and then I kind of stopped because we went on tour for 2 months, and then I totally lost it. But I've been back into it now, which has been really nice. So I run and I hike, and I don't think, like, the hiking thing obviously is a little bit bigger scale, so I don't do that specifically to clear my head, but I think it helps a lot. And the running thing, if I am like at home and I feel like an anxiety attack coming on, or I'm just stressed, or I'm overwhelmed, or I'm like, I feel like I'm not being productive enough, but I'm still feeling kind of lazy, like I don't want to do anything yet, if I go for a run, it kind of gets me back in that zone. I feel productive, I feel good, and I feel energized and ready to do it. So that's my thing. I've actually been meaning to start meditating, because I hear from many sources and the whole world that it is super helpful.
Yeah.
And so I need to kind of start doing that more. But
I was just wondering, because I imagine getting to that place where you do have to be authentic, where you do, you know, share your most vulnerable self. I don't think that's like an easy thing to do, I would imagine. Yeah.
No, I mean, it has to start very deliberately, you know, which it's funny because then you're like, it feels inauthentic to be my authentic self, you know, because I'm like forcing it out. But
is it conversations with like producers? Is it like a friend of mine who's a producer, mm-hmm. like our mutual friend, like talks about how he has like intimate conversations with an artist to really open that up and to get that out, and that might help the juices flow with the writing.
Well, it's so funny you say that. Like when Phil and I were working on Passive, on the song that's on the EP, the first, like, I would say the first session we did for it, we were just kind of like hanging out and talking and like drinking coffee and talking about our mental health problems and like just.
And then you realize you're not alone, right?
Exactly. So that was like a big, like that recording that song was like a massive breakthrough in that, honestly. But
and it's on the EP, right?
Mm-hmm, and it is, yeah. So that. But yeah, like conversations with producers, and I was super fortunate to work with really close friends on this EP. Like all the producers I worked with and all the writers, they're all people that I do feel very comfortable with. Like Dan produced a lot of it, and obviously he and I toured together in friendship. Essentially lived together for months at a time, you know.
So he knows all your deepest, darkest secrets already.
Oh, yes. He has seen me in some dark, drunk moments. But yeah, so I think that was super helpful to kickstart it. And yeah, it's a process. It's like anything else, you know. It's like you have to force it to happen, and then eventually it becomes more natural. And I'm still at a point where it's a lot more natural than it once was. But there are still obviously moments where I'm like, and then it's like, okay, no, you gotta do it.
Can I ask, what's the most challenging thing to write about for you?
I think writing about anxiety and depression, because I think that it's something where I think it's cool because nowadays we're a lot more open about it and a lot more artists are talking about it. And in general, it's less of a taboo. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's super helpful for me in writing about it. But like Changes is about my anxiety, and I'm working on a project right now that will be, you know, after the EP and like the next phase of Talker, but that is very focused on mental health and very focused on anxiety and things like that. But it's still something where a lot of people, like I'm a generally upbeat person and very outgoing, but you know, I think we all deal with it to different degrees, and mm-hmm. a lot of people do face those challenges and you don't really notice it or see it unless you have a deliberate conversation about it. And so sometimes it is kind of weird to write about, just because I'm like, oh, like I said, like my parents will hear this, or my friends, or mm-hmm. whoever, you know, will hear this and be like, oh, are you okay? My grandma was like, I'm a little worried that you're writing songs that are sad and that people won't want to have fun and sing along to.
But see, I personally, and I'm sure other people feel this way too, connect to the realness.
Totally.
When I first saw you at Hotel Cafe, I wasn't familiar with your music, mm-hmm. to be honest, and I heard Changes.
Yeah.
And I instantly connected to that because I struggle with anxiety.
Yeah.
And it just, the lyrics in it, and just, I instantly connected to that. And it's like, okay, here's someone talking about something real that I go through that I'm sure more than half the room deals with.
Totally.
And I think that is what draws people to your music, rather than just having a happy song and everything's fine,
yeah.
because I don't think that's real all the time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think there's a place for those happy songs, obviously.
Of course.
But
and there's
me,
times in your life where you are feeling
exactly,
that way.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I know that because I deal with that and connect with other songs that are like that, I know that there's like a ton of people who can connect with that as well, and to be a voice for that and to manifest, you know, their experiences in the song. And so yeah, I mean it's something that's challenging to write about, but it is really rewarding because you do connect with people on such a deep level.
I'm sure. Do people come up to you after shows and tell you that they connected to your music?
Yeah, actually, which is really cool.
I'm sure.
I'm like,
they do.
Who are you? How did you find out about this?
Because it also shows that you are an open person and you are approachable. I think that's the other thing that authentic music does. It's like,
yeah,
I'm an approachable person. Like, you can tell me what you're going through.
Totally.
And we can
yes.
kind of come to a common.
Yeah. And that, like, you're aware that that's something that people deal with and that you care and that. Yeah, exactly. Like, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, like, I've been struggling with this, you know, I'm like, well, I don't know what I can do for you, but let's talk about it.
I'm not a therapist, but like it is, but it's just something that like you can.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, totally. No, I think that is what's special about music, and it's something I really wanted to touch on with you because that is an important thing, I think, in your music is to be authentic and to be true.
Yeah, so definitely.
I think that's great. This might, my next question, this might have already been answered, but what do you think individualizes you as an artist?
Yeah, I think that authenticity is kind of the key point. And it's funny because every artist is trying to be themselves and trying to be authentic and then do what they do best, you know? But I think I'm just trying to cut through all the bullshit because there is so much of it. And not even, I mean, living in LA, there's so much of it, but also in general, you know, it's 2019. We're all on Instagram and I'm on it all the time. And I'm like, why am I doing this? I hate it.
How do you separate yourself from that? Like, how do you stay true to that when it is such like a show and such a, I need to advertise myself?
Yeah.
And
well, it's a balance because, right, it's like you do need to stay active on social media if you're an artist and you're trying to build a public presence and a following. Right. Like, you do have to do that. But I try to, first of all, I try to not, like, scroll and hang out on it too much, you know, because I'll just drive myself crazy. But I try to be very real on it. Like, if I am having a shit day, I'm not going to be like, oh, woe is me. But I'll be like, hey, y'all, I'm having a bad day. If you're having a bad day, I see you. You know? And so, and I, every time I've like done something like that, people are like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I am like struggling, whatever.
Because you want to know why? Life is fucking hard.
It's so hard.
Like, life is not easy. It is so hard. And Instagram, and I'm guilty of it too, like falling in the rabbit hole of like, oh, this person's life's perfect. And this, and it's, life is hard. And now social media has...
Yes.
And no wonder we're all suffering from anxiety and depression, too. I mean, that totally is contributing.
Well, and it's a combination of always seeing everybody else doing... Apparently living a better life than yours, which is not even true. That person that went to brunch, that's all they did. They went home and didn't talk to anyone the rest of the day.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, my God, they went out all day. It's like, nah, that was like a half an hour. Mm-hmm. But not only are you seeing that, but it's also such an overstimulation where you're like, I cannot compute, like... You know, you wake up and there's like 7 different headlines about different things that Donald Trump said. You know what I mean? It's just like,
it's a lot.
It's way too much going on. And so I think that is like why we're all going insane is that there's so much,
agree.
All the time. But you know, trying to be like something that cuts through that. Both in obviously like social media and all of that, but in general, just trying to be authentic and trying to not sugarcoat anything, you know? It's like if it's shit, it's shit, and we're just gonna smile and hang out together through it. And if it's great, it's great, you know? It's, and I think I do think that's what sets it apart a bit. I think that there is a cool movement of other artists as well who are doing kind of a similar thing, and it's really cool to also see that because it helps realize like, okay, people want to see this, mm-hmm. and people are being supported when they do this, so it's okay to do this and not feel like you have to be anything and you don't have to be something that's already existed, like just do you.
I like that, just do you.
Yeah,
I love it. What other goals do you have?
Yeah, I mean...
For your Talker project.
Yeah, so obviously the EP is coming out on the 22nd and the release show is on the 27th. So that's obviously my immediate mentality.
Focus right now, of course.
But yeah,
but
I think...
But like big goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to take it all the way, you know? I would love to start touring soon. Trying to find that sweet spot where it makes sense. I'm not like playing in bars by myself, but I hope to tour soon. And I'm just trying to keep putting out music, you know, and riding the momentum. I don't want to, you know, it's been cool because I've been consistently putting out songs and have been, you know, getting more people listening to it. And I don't want to slow any of that down. So after the EP comes out, I'm going to ride that a little bit, but I'm going to hopefully put out another single in the summer and just
keep it going
and you know, you see us headlining Coachella in 2022.
Let's do it. I'll be there front row. I'll be there front row. Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. Oh, wait, before we go, I shouldn't close it out yet. Where can people find you?
Everywhere. Everywhere is at Talker Celeste. All of my socials, my SoundCloud, and on Spotify, Apple Music, all that is just Talker. And yeah, super easy.
Amazing. And your EP comes out?
February 22nd.
22nd. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's so fun.
And that concludes my interview with Talker. I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot out of it. I was getting to know her just as you were. You know, as I do these interviews, I don't plan too much in advance. I list a couple things that I want to touch on, but I really let the conversation flow. So it's really nice to interview someone that you don't know super well, and you get to ask them questions kind of as they come, just as you, out of curiosity, out of wanting to know them better. So just know that this interview was really my way of getting to know Celeste. So I really hope that you feel like you are in the room with us, like you are getting to know her as just as I am. Like, that really is my goal with this. I am going to leave you with Talker's new song, Passive. As I mentioned, her EP is coming out this week, so definitely check that out. And thanks so much for listening to Inside the Artist.